Okay, we're starting here midway through Nun Amid Bet with the Braita. The Gemara over here says Tashma. The Gemara is still trying to figure out what the status of the Par Kohen Gadol, the Par Aron, is on Yom HaKippurim. We have three options as to the status of the Par of Aron on Yom HaKippurim. One is that it's a Korban Yachid. The next one is that it's a Korban Shutafim. The last one is that it's a Korban Tzibur. And we've seen opinions in all of those directions. Now the Gemara, through this quoting, they're going to quote over here, is going to try to bring another proof to which of those it is. Tashma. Chomer bi-bazevach mi-bitmura, v'chomer bi-mitmura mi-bazevach. So here we're talking about tmura. Tmura is if a person tries to take an animal that's kodesh and exchange it with another animal. The Torah tells us who, u'tmurato iya kodesh. It and its exchanged animal remain kodesh. They both remain kodesh. You can't transfer the kedusha off. But the fact that you tried to transfer the kedusha off is successful. And the fact that you're mekadesh, the other animal that you tried to transfer it onto. You just didn't remove it from the original animal. You have two animals in front of you now. They both have kedusha. One is the original zevach, the other one is the tmura. So here, the Braita tells you that there's a difference between them, which is chomer mi bezevach. The zevach has certain things that are more chomer about it, that are more astringent about it, that do not apply to the tmura. Shazevach noheg biyachid kibitzibur. First of all, when it comes to a zevach, you mean makdish an animal. When you mean makdish an animal, you can makdish it both for a yachid and for the tzibur. It's not limited. A korban like that is not limited to a yachid. You can mean makdish animals for either the tzibur or the yachid. V'docheta shabbat ve'eta tuma. And it overrides shabbat and it overrides tuma. Va'ose tmura. And it can generate tmura. That means if you try to exchange it onto another animal, it can actually generate that tmura. Which is not true by tmura. By tmura, first of all, we already know, this is what we've been discussing throughout this amud, is that you can't create tmura from a korban tzibur. You can only create tmura from a korban yachid. So that's the first thing. So it doesn't apply by yachid and tzibur. Number two is, it's not tochet shabbat ve'et tuma, because it's not zmano kuvua. Even if the tmura ends up on the mizbeach, it's not a fixed time that you have to put it on. It's a korban that ends up being a korban nidava. And therefore, there's no reason that it should be doche et shabbat ve'et tmura. And the last thing is, it's not make another tmura. Only a core or original korban can create tmura. Tmura can't create another tmura from itself. So all of those things don't apply to a tmura. Chomer bimit tmura mi-bazevach. Tmura has a chomra that doesn't apply to a zevach. She tmura chala ba'al mom kavua. Ve'enu yotzad l'chulin li-gazez v'li-aveid. Mash'en ken bazevach. When it comes to a tmura, it has a certain chomra, which is the way that the kedusha is chal. And that is by a korban. When you're makdish a korban, there are two possibilities. You're makdish a korban that is a tamim, that's a regular animal that's ready to go on the mizbeach. And then later on, it gets a mum in it. That's what we call psulei hamukdashim. It's something that has a mum. You can redeem it. It had kedusha raguf. It was ready to go on the mizbeach. Gets a mum. So you can't put it on the mizbeach. You redeem it. And with those monies, you buy another korban. The monies become kadosh. And the animal goes out the chulin. But it doesn't go out completely the chulin. It's what's called psulei hamukdashim. You're allowed to eat it, but you may not shear it. You may not work with it. It has a certain standard. So you can eat it, but you can't do anything else with it. On the other hand, if you come along and you want to be makdish an animal, it already has a mum in it. As a mum to start with. Before you start it, you put makdish the animal that has a mum in it. That never attains kedushat aguf or kedushat mizbeach because it could never go on the mizbeach. So when you're makdish it, why would you be makdish an animal with a mum in it? It's no different than being makdish wood, being makdish a tree. What do you do with that? You sell it, and the money belongs to hekdesh. All it is, it's for its liquidation value, for its monetary value. Therefore, if you redeem it, it becomes completely chulin. You can do as you please with it. That means you could work with it. You could shear it. You can do as you please. So that's a difference in kodoshim. If you're makdish an animal without a mum, then it attains kedushat aguf. If it gets a mum afterwards and you redeem it, it retains a certain level of kedusha. Can't work it. You can't shear it. You can only eat it. On the other hand, if you're makdish an animal that has a mum already, then it only attains kedushat damim, because you're really only makdish it for its monetary value. And so because of that, you can sell it off and it becomes complete chulin. That is not true by tmura. By tmura it says, ra b'tov v'tov b'ra. Says there that you can exchange a good for a bad or bad for a good. Chazal darshan ra b'tov v'tov b'ra is whether it's a tamim or whether it's a baal mum. Tmura is chal no matter what the other animal is. So if you try to exchange the kedusha off this poor animal that's a shlamim and ola chatat and place it on the other animal, it attains that kedushat ha-mizbeach, kedushat aguf, whether it's a tamim or whether it's a baal mum. And that means if you go to redeem it afterwards, if it can be redeemed, that animal, then it has that layer of kedusha that never leaves it. So when you redeem it, you can only eat it, you can't work with it, you can't shear it. So tmura has that in excess or in stringency above the regular zevach, which is that it can have kedushat aguf, kedushat mizbeach, even if it started out with a mum. So that's the chumra of tmura. Now the Gemara says, "Hai zevach hechidami." This braita is giving you an example of a type of korban that has all these features and all these things apply to it. What exactly is that? So ilay madiyachid. If you say it's a standard korban yachid, midachi shabbat v'tuma, then how could it be doche shabbat and tuma? Because we know that in general, korbanot yachid are not doche shabbat and tuma. Elo de tzibur. So now what are you going to say? It belongs to the tzibur. Mioset mura. We know that the korbanot tzibur don't make tmura, so they won't fit in the second half of the braita. El alav. So now there are only three choices left. In yesterday's daf, we discussed three possibilities of korbanot yachid that are doche shabbat and doche tuma. Those three were korban pesach, the par shel aron on yom kippurim, and the chavite kohen gadol. So you're clearly not talking about the chavitim of kohen gadol because we're talking about an animal over here. So you're left with two options, the korban pesach and the par shel yom kippurim. And so the Gemara says, my love, what is the korban that we're speaking about here? It must be the par. Because what is the din of a par? It's the dochet shabbat veta tuma. It overrides Shabbat and Tumah, the kviel zman, because it has a fixed time that you have to bring it on Yom HaKippurim. Voset mura, and it makes tumura. Why? Because its designation is the Korban Yachidu. That'll answer our question. What's the status of the Par Kohen Gadol? The answer is, it's a Korban Yachid. How do I know it's a Korban Yachid? Because here's a braita discussing the Par Kohen Gadol and says you can make tumura. If you can make tumura, it's not a Korban Shutafim. It's also not a Korban of the Tzibur. It can only be a Korban Yachid. Here's the answer to our question as to the status of the Par Kohen Gadol. Amar Rav Sheshi Lo. No, that's not true. There is another Korban Yachid that also has all of these features. That is Be'ilo Shel Aron. On Yom HaKippurim, when you bring the Korbanot, there is the Par of Aron. There's the Shnei Si'irim, which is Seir LaShem and Seir LaZazel. There's also Elo Ve'el Ha'am, the Isle of Aron and the Isle of the Am. Aron has a Isle that he brings, which he pays for, and that's his Korban Yachid. It's part of the avoda on Yom HaKippurim, therefore, kavu al hazman. It has a fixed time. Since it has a fixed time, it's doche et ha-shabbat, and it's doche et ha-tuma, number one. Number two is, it is a korban yachid, because it's Aaron's ayo. There, nobody disagrees that it's Aaron's ayo, and it's his personal ayo, and therefore it can make tmura. So the ayo could be the korban that we're discussing in this braita. That would be the answer of Sheshit says. Who says it has to be the par? And then you don't have any proof from here about the par, because it could be the ayo. This ayon, Elam, are olot, and it's Aaron buys it personally, it's only him. There's no vidui on it, there's nobody else included on it. The par, which Aaron also buys personally, nevertheless, he does a vidui on it for himself, his family, and the Kohanim. So that vidui somehow joins in, possibly, the other Kohanim, even though it's his personal par that he purchased, and this is a personal ayo. But by the ayo, it's an olot, so he doesn't do any vidui on it, and therefore there's no issue of joining other people, and it's clearly his from beginning to end. And that's why it's a Korban Yachid for sure. So when it says, Achanami Mistabra, it makes more sense to say it's an ayo, not a par, because, de paro, if you think it's the par of Aaron, Tmura de par, Shabbat de Tumahu de lo dachya, habachol makriv karva. Wait a minute. The basic line here is that you have all the features of this zevach. What are the features of this zevach? That this korban is docheta shabbat, docheta tuma, and what is it din by tmura? Tmura is that it's not docheta shabbat, not docheta tuma. That's the chumra of the zevach over the tmura. But the implications are that had it not been shabbat and it not been tamei, you could bring this tmura on the mizbeach. Well, what is the par? The par shel aron is a chatat. What's the din of a tmurat chatat? We had that yesterday. There are five chatot that are metot. Five chatot that go put to death. One of those five is tmurat chatat. So that means if you make a tmura out of a chatat, what's the designation of that animal? It's going to die. So what do you mean here? The bride is saying, oh, if it wasn't Shabbat and Tumah, that the Tumah would be just fine to put on his back. You can't put that on his back. It's going to be put to death. And even if you say it's Rabbi Shimon says it has to be Yotzei L'Riyah. It has to go out and graze. You can't put on his back. You still have to let it get a mum and redeem it. So there's no way that that should be able to fit into this bride, the par, because it's a chatat. And Tumurat chatat does not end up on the Mizbeach. So therefore, it makes a lot more sense to say that it is the ayo and not the par. Because if it's the bayo ha-tumurat chatati, tumurat chatat, the mita azla. So that goes the mita. But if it's the ayo is ola. Tumurat ha-ayo, tumurat ha-ola, ends up on the mizbech, turns into an ola. but it's an olat nidava. That's why it can't be brought on Shabbat. It can't be brought betumah. But on a weekday, you could put it on the mizbeach. So it makes a lot more sense to explain it as the ayo rather than the par. The Gemara says, no, the olam paro. No, the Gemara says, no, I think par is the right answer. Umay tmura, shame tmura. We're talking about tmura. We're not saying that this in particular has tmura. We're saying tmura in general has this difference with a zebach. Tmura in general has these properties. What are the properties? It's not doche Shabbat, it's not doche tuma, and has application on things that even have a baal mum kavua, even though they had a mum in front. So that's in general, tmura. I can say that about any tmura. This case in particular, it happens not to be true because it's tmura t'chatat. Tmura t'chatat is the mita azlo. But tmura in general has this principle. So Gemara says, okay, that's a really cute answer for the Braita, but if you're going to say that the Braita is talking about Tmura in general, and that's why it's okay to say that it's talking about the Parchatat, then Yochi Zevach Nami, Shem Zevach. Why don't you say the Zevach too? Why do you have to find or pinpoint a specific Korban that we're speaking about? Just say, we're talking about Korbanot in general. Korbanot in general have this Chumra above Tmurot. That Korbanot in general have manifestation v'yachidu b'tzibur. Number two is, they have manifestations that they're Doche Shabbat and Doche Tuma, and that they're not Chal on a Baal Mum Kavua. That's true of Zvachim in general. So why don't we just say that it's a Zevach in general? Who says you have to pinpoint a specific Urban? It says, Shem Zevach Loktoni. It says, the Shem Zevach is not what's written in the Braita. Umimai. How do you know that's true? Why do you say that when we're talking about Tmura, it's talking about generic Tmura, and when it's talking about a Zevach, it's not talking about generic Zvachim, it's talking about this particular Zevach. It says, Miktani Chomer Bimitmura. That's because the chumra that we mentioned by tmura is that it can be chal on a baal mum kavua. If you have something that has a baal mum up front, tmura is chal on it, and it takes on a kedushat aguf, kedushat ha-mizbech, as we discussed before. We said that's not true by a zebach, but that's not true of all zvachim. Because, isak adatcha, my zebach, shem zebach, if you think it's talking about all zvachim in general, korbanot in general, b'chor maser. What are you going to do with Bechor Maser? Dechalin al Baal Mum Kavua. They have effect on a Baal Mum Kavua. Ve'ein yotzim lechulin ligazez b'le'aveid. And they take on Kedushat Agruf, Kedushat Mizbeach. Because Maser and Bechor are not about making choices. A Bechor is the firstborn. Whatever the firstborn is, that is Kadosh. Doesn't matter if it has a moment beforehand or it doesn't have a moment beforehand. The Kedushat HaBechor is Chal on the animal, irrespective of the status of the animal. It's just got to be the firstborn. As long as it's the firstborn that's poteret arechem, it gets kedusha, no matter what its state is. Whether the state is that it's an animal that is a tamim, or whether it's a baal mum. Maaser, you pass the animals through, every tenth animal becomes kadosh, irrespective of whether it's a baal mum or not a baal mum. As long as it can walk through the corral and be the tenth animal, it can be kadosh. So if you were to talk about zvachim in general, generic zvachim, the statement is not true. Because if you were to say all zvachim, when you were makdish them, if you makdish them when they're tamim, then they attain kedushat aguf. If you makdish them with a mom, they don't attain kedushat aguf, they only get to kedushat tamim. You cannot make a generic statement like that about zvachim because there are exceptions to that rule. The exceptions are bechor and maser. Those are zvachim that do have kedushat that's chal, even when it's a mom up front. So if that's the case, then Breita would not be true. So that's what the Gemara says. The Breita is clearly not talking about generic zvachim because there are exceptions to the rule of zvachim. So we have to pinpoint the zevach that it's speaking about. It can't be talking about broadly zvachim. Tmura, on the other hand, this is true of all tmurot. That which we said over here, what do we say is a chumra by tmura? The chumra by tmura is that it always is chal on a baal mum. That's true of all tmurot. Doesn't matter what tmura you do, whether it's a chatat, or lash, lamim. You do a tmura that's effective, then that tmura takes effect even on a baal mum kavua, and it attains kedushat mizbeach. Number two is, no tmura is doche Shabbat, and no tmura is doche tuma. That's a generic statement you can make. There's no exception to that. The tmura is not chal b'yachid b'tzibur. That's a generic statement. No tmura affects the korban tzibur. There's no exception to the rule. So since by tmura there are no exceptions to the rule, therefore you can say that it's talking about generic tmura. But when you're talking about zevach in the first half of the Braita, you can't say it's talking about generic zvachim because there are exceptions to the rule. And therefore you can't make a blanket statement about zvachim. You have to be talking about a specific zevach where this is true. Umayishna tmura, shem tmura achati. So why by tmura can you say it's all generic? Because shem tmura achati. By tmura, everything has the same din as we've explained. They're all under the same category and rubric. There's no change in din. Zevach, ikar bechor, ikar maaser. By zevach, you can't say the generic statement of zevach because bechor and maaser are the exception. Mar says, ula rav sheshet. Rav Sheshit over here says, I'd rather set up this braita, speaking about the Isle of Aaron, the Isle of the Kohen Gadol and Yom HaKippurim, rather than the Par of Aaron, because it makes more sense. Well, already, if he's going to make that choice, we said before, there are other Korbanot Yachid that also have the ability to be Doche Shabbat and Tuman, that is, the Korban HaPesach. So why don't we say that? Omukim Labe Elosha Aaron. Rather than establish this to be the brightest speaking about the Isle of Aaron, look maybe Pesach. Set up with Pesach, because that's the other Korban HaYachid that we discussed yesterday, that's Dochet HaShabbat Ve'et HaTumah, and Ve'oset Tmurah, and it makes Tmurah, with the Korban Yachidu. So it's also a Korban Yachid, it fits the billing that we're looking for in the Braita. So Korban HaYachid, it is Dochet HaShabbat, Dochet HaTumah, it makes Tmurah. Ah, what about Yachid B'Tzibor? Wait, is it Bravi Yachid B'Tzibor? So here you have to say one of two things. You either have to say Yachid and Tzibor is because a Korban HaPesach is an enhanced Shlamim. It's really an enhanced Shlamim, and within Shlamim we do have Korbanot Tzibor, which is the Kidsei Atzeret, the only Shalmei Tzibor that there are that are brought on Shavuot. So there is a Shlamim manifestation like that. Or you have to argue, along the lines of what Fred was mentioning before, that even though it's a Korban Yachid, it has a status like a Korban Tzibor, because it's all brought together. It's brought by everybody at once, by the Pesach Rishon. And so because of that, it also has a classification like a Korban Tzibor. So it's a Yachid and a Tzibor. And so therefore it has all the character traits we're looking for here. Plus, it even makes more sense because the Korban of Pesach, as Tosafot points out, is called the Zevach. Where it says Zevach Pesach Hu. So there you have the term Zevach used by Pesach. So it even fits it much better. The Bright over here talked about a Zevach. Pesach is called the Zevach. So you have that additional bonus that not only is it fit all the character traits you're looking for, but it's also called the Zevach. So that would make more sense to use the Pesach as the example here rather than the Ayol of Aaron. If you're already going to switch it to something else, switch it to the Pesach. Kasavar. So this is a little chazara from Psachim, the ninth parak in Psachim. Ein shochatim a Pesach al yachid. He holds like Rabbi Yehuda that Korban Pesach can never be brought by an individual. You have to have a minimum of two people on a Korban HaPesach. Chaburat HaPesach has to have a minimum of two people because it says, Lo tuchal le'achol be'achad she'arecha. You're not allowed to eat the Pesach in one of your gateways, meaning outside of Yerushalayim. But he, Darshan, said, Lo tuchal le'achol echad. You can't eat it one. One person cannot eat the Korban HaPesach. That means that you always have to have multiple people on the Korban HaPesach. Once you do that, it can't work in the Braita because the Braita said, Oset Tmurah. It makes Tmurah. And we know that a Korban Shutafim does not make Tmurah. So if it's already, by definition, the Korban HaPesach is not really a Korban Yachid, it's a Korban Shutafim. Since it's a Korban Shutafim, you can't make Tmurah, it can't fit into the Braita. So you have to know in terms of gradations, you have the three gradations within Korbanot. You have Korban Yachid, which is an individual who owns a Korban. Then you have a Korban Shutafim. Korban Shutafim is still a Korban Yachid, it's just that you have multiple Yechidim that own the Korban. It's a partnership where all the partners have ownership within the Korban. So that's a Korban Yachid, but it involves multiple people. So in cases where we require just a single person or a single owner, it won't work, like Tmurah, where there's just one owner, one individual that can make a Tmurah. If it's Korban Shutafim, it doesn't make Tmurah. Then there's a Korban HaTzibur. Korban HaTzibur is different than Korban HaShutafim in the fact that it's owned by a corporate entity called Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael as a whole owns the Korban. That means that the individuals themselves aren't so important. It's the entity, Klal Yisrael owns it. Who is the Balim or anybody who belongs to Klal Yisrael at that time? Again, there's no singular ownership. There's not that each person technically has a piece of the Korban. It's that corporate Klal Yisrael owns it. And because you're part of Klal Yisrael, therefore you have a portion of the Korban. The difference being, in terms of Balim dying. For instance, if you have the Balim die by a Korban HaYachid, then there's no Balim left. If all the Balim die by the Korban HaShutafim, there are no Balim left. By Klal Yisrael, you can never have all the Balim die. Since corporate entity Klal Yisrael always exists, no matter how many people die, there's always somebody left who's part of Klal Yisrael. There is no such thing as losing the Balim. But those gradations make a difference. So here he says, look, the Korban HaPesach, everybody agrees, is not a Korban HaTzibur in the classic sense. It's not a single Korban that's brought on behalf of all of Klal Yisrael. It's a Korban Yachid. Now, which type of Korban Yachid? Is it owned by an individual? Or is it a Korban HaShutafim? So he says that I believe, like Rabbi Yehuda, that it's a Korban HaShutafim. If I make it a Korban HaShutafim, it remains a Korban Yachid, but you cannot make Tmurah. Because Tmurah requires singular ownership in order to make it into Tmurah. So because of that, it can't be the description of what's being brought in the Braita here. The Braita here says you can make Tmurah out of it. So that's how he solves his problem. Right, so that's the question. That's the whole question about the Patat of Aron. That's exactly the question. What you're raising is the question, which is, because he bought it and he personally owns it, they don't buy any ownership, they don't get any ownership in it. But they get kapara. That's what the Gemara is trying to figure out. What does that mean? If they get kapara and Aron owns it, what does that mean for this korban? Is it a yachid, a shutafim, or a tzibur? There's all three possibilities here. And the Gemara is going to come back and discuss it again. We discussed it yesterday's daf, and now they're going to come back and try to figure it out again. Alright, so now the Gemara says, v'nukmei b'pesach sheni. Why don't we say it's Pesach sheni? Now by Pesach sheni, we have a difference than Pesach Rishon. By Pesach sheni, there you may be able to have it be a korban yachid. Because almost by definition, it's yachidim that are left over to Pesach sheni. It's someone who was tamei in Pesach Rishon. He has to bring a Pesach Sheni. It doesn't seem to be that there's this requirement of having more than one person on the Korban when it comes to Pesach Sheni. So if you establish it with Pesach Sheni, you're back to being a Korban Yachid, and you have all the trappings. The Gemara says, Midachi Tuma. Who says that Pesach Sheni is Doche Tuma? So now the Gemara leaves that. The Gemara is going to come back and discuss this issue about Dachi Tuma, but the Gemara leaves that and says, okay, that's the reason for Rav Sheshet. Rav Sheshet had two options. If he says it's not the power of our own, it's not the power of the Kohen Gadol, I can replace it with a Korban Yachid, that is Doche Shabbat and Doche Tumah. He says, well, there are very few examples of that. One example of that is the Pesach. One example of that is the Ayil of Aaron on Yom HaKippurim. So he picked Ayil Aaron. The Gemara says, why didn't he pick Pesach? The Gemara says, well, Pesach Rishon he didn't pick because he holds like Rabbi Yehuda that it has to be a Korban HaShutafim and that won't make Tmura. So then why didn't he pick Pesach Sheni? Because he believes that Pesach Sheni is not Doche Tumah. So because of that, Pesach wasn't relevant to the Braita, and that's why he picked the Isle of Aaron. Right, that's it. Now we're going to like a comma. The Gemara is going to jump back. It's doing a flashback now and dealing with the Gemara before. This is what Fred was asking before, which is in yesterday's daf, the Gemara brought the Braita from Murah that discusses the Machloket about what are the qualifications for being Docheta Shabbat with Docheta Tumah. So the Tanakhama believed that the qualification was that it's a Korban HaTzibur. Korban HaTzibur is Doche Shabbat, Doche Tuma. Korban HaYachid is not. Then he was challenged there by Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yaakov. Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yaakov bring examples, first of all, of Korbanot Yachid that are Doche Shabbat, Doche Tuma. And then they brought examples of Korbanot HaTzibur that are not Doche Shabbat and not Doche Tuma. In those lists, one of the items was a Korban HaPesach. The Korban HaPesach was listed as a Korban Yachid. That is Doche Shabbat and Doche Tumah in that list. On the other hand, the list was brought a Korban Chagiga. Korban Chagiga, we said, is a Korban HaTzibur that is not Doche Shabbat and not Doche Tumah. So Gemara wants to know now, why do you call a Korban HaPesach a Korban Yachid, and you call the Korban Chagiga a Korban Tzibur? The Chagiga is brought by an individual as well. It's the Chiyuv to bring a Chagiga on the Regel, so it's brought by individuals as well. So why do you call that a Korban HaTzibur, and you call the Korban Pesach, which is brought by individuals, or even Shutafim, why are you calling that a Korban HaYachid and not a Korban HaTzibur? So that's what the Gemara is jumping back to. Why are they calling the Chagiga a Korban HaTzibur, and they're calling the Pesach a Korban HaYachid? So that Gemara says, Amalei Rav Huna Brei Devar Yeshua, the Rava. V'tana, Maishna Pesach Dekari Lei Korban HaYachid? Why does he call Pesach a Korban HaYachid? V'maishna Chagiga Dekari Lei Korban HaTzibur, Korban HaTzibur. And then he calls the Chagiga Korban HaTzibur, because Rabbi Meir says that Pesach is called a Korban Yachid, and Rabbi Yaakov says that Chagiga is called a Korban HaTzibur. What's different between them? So Gemara says, Imishum da'ati biknufaya, if it's because it's brought in a great multitude, as Rashi says here, biregalim, brought on the regal itself, so since it's brought amongst many people, then it has a din of Korban HaTzibur. In other places in Shas, Rashi says that it's not just because it's brought on the regal, but it's many people are doing the same thing at the same time. One individual brings a Korban Chagiga, but there are 50,000 other people bringing a Korban Chagiga along with you. Same thing with a Korban HaPesach. You're bringing a Korban HaPesach, but there are 50,000 other people bringing a Korban HaPesach. So when you do that already, you're talking about very large numbers of people doing the same thing. So maybe that is what gives it a shame, Korban HaTzibur. But if that's true, Pesach Namiati Biknufaya. If that's the definition of why a Chagiga is called a Korban HaTzibur, Pesach has the same trappings. So Pesach should also be a Korban HaTzibur. Gemara says, Ika Pesach Sheni, Delo Ati B'Knufaya. Yeah, Pesach Sheni, that doesn't come in B'Knufaya. You can't say Pesach generically is called a Korban HaTzibur, because maybe Pesach Rishon is a Korban HaTzibur, but Pesach Sheni is not a Korban HaTzibur, because by definition, Pesach Sheni is individuals, because only individuals are Nidche from Pesach Rishon to Pesach Sheni, number one. And number two is, it can't be Rov HaTzibur. Only the Miyut of Tzibur is Nidcheit until Pesach Sheni to bring the Korban if they are B'tumah. So So if that's the case, Pesach Sheni definitely does not attain the status of a Kurbana Tzibur. Amalei, Imkein, Dochet HaShabbat V'Dochet HaTumah. Yehei is questionable whether the Devil is in the gears here. So then, wait a minute. If it's not a Kurbana Tzibur, then why is it Dochet Shabbat and Dochet HaTumah over here? At least Pesach Rishon, which is a Kurbana Yachid, has trappings of being a Kurbana Tzibur. And that the truth is, it sits somewhere in between. The Rambam, when he categorizes the Kurbanot, he says there's Kurbana Yachid, Kurbana Tzibur, and then there's certain Kurbanot Yachid that act like a Tzibur, and certain Kurbanot Tzibur that act like a Yachid. So the Kurban of Pesach is one of those things that is a Kurban Yachid, but acts like a Kurban Tzibur. So at least by Pesach Rishon, you can call it a Kurban Tzibur, something that acts like a Kurban Tzibur. And so because of that, it's Dochet HaShabbat, it's Dochet HaTumah, because it's Manot Kavua. But Pesach Sheni, who says it's Dochet HaShabbat and Dochet HaTumah? I mean, you're telling me it's a regular Kurban Yachid, it has none of those trappings of the Kurban Pesach Rishon to make it into something special, so why is it Dochet? I'm like, it is. It's like the one who says that it is Dochet. Now, with regards to Shabbat, everybody agrees it's Dochet HaShabbat because it's Mano Kavua. The only question is it Dochet HaTumah? We saw before that Rav Sheshit said, I don't hold that Pesach Sheni can fit into the Breita because it's not Dochet HaTumah. Pesach Sheni is not Dochet HaTumah. So here we're going to have a Breita that brings a Machloket as to whether Pesach Sheni is Dochet HaTumah. With regards to Shabbat, it's Mano Kavua. So since it's Mano Kavua, even though it's a Kurban HaYachid, it'll be Dochet Shabbat. The question is about Tumah, whether it's Dochet HaTumah or not Dochet HaTumah. Just an interesting note with regards to Pesach Rishon. With regards to Pesach Rishon, we said it's a Kurban Yachid, but it has trappings like a Kurban Tzibur because it's brought by Kenufaya. So it has a din like a Kurban Tzibur. What does that mean? So it's actually interesting here. Tosafot raises it in other places in Shas and says it'll actually be a Nafkamina. A regular Kurban Tzibur that's Dochet Shabbat, Dochet HaTumah, Tumah Hotra B'Tzibur, it's complaining Mutar. Whereas by a Kurban Pesach, if it's Dochet HaTumah, say the robe Tzibur is Tameh, and they're going to bring the Kurban Pesach B'Tumah, it's only Dochet HaTumah, not Hutra. It's Dechia and not Hutra. Why? Because it's not really a Korban Tzibur. It's a Yachid plus. It's a Yachid that looks like a Tzibur. And therefore, a Korban HaPesach never really attains the full status of Korban Tzibur to say that it's Tumah Hutra B'Tzibur. It's only Tumah Dechuya B'Tzibur, the guard to a Korban Pesach, because of that. Now, the Gemara brings the Breita, the Tanya. We have a Breita. Pesach Sheni Dochet HaShabbat Ve'enu Dochet HaTumah. So here's the Tana Kama who says, Pesach Sheni is Dochet Shabbat, because Kavu Lo Zman, but it's not Dochet HaTumah. Now the question is why? Why is it not Dochet HaTumah? If it's Kavu Lo Zman, it should be Dochet Shabbat and Tumah. So Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Av Dochet HaTumah. It's also Dochet HaTumah. Machloket Tanaim, as to whether Pesach Sheni is Dochet HaTumah. My time of the Tana Kama. What's the reason behind the Tana Kama? Amar Lecha, Mipnei Tumah Dachitu V'yaseh B'Tumah? That makes no sense. The whole reason you're bringing Pesach Sheni is because you were Tamei on Pesach Rishon. So after you're Tamei on Pesach Rishon and push it off to Pesach Sheni, you're going to do it in Tumah? That makes no sense. The whole purpose of Pesach Sheni is to do it B'Tahara. So that's why you push it off. Now you're going to do it B'Tumah. You defeated the purpose of pushing it off to Pesach Sheni. The Pesach says, K'chol chukata Pesach yasu oto. That you have to do the Pesach Sheni exactly like Pesach Rishon. But if you do B'Tumah, even B'Tumah, meaning that whatever Pesach Rishon has, the same din applies to Pesach Sheni. HaTorah zira labla soto b'tara. The Torah says, look, give it a shot to do a b'tara. You were Tamei on Pesach Rishon. Give it a shot on Pesach Sheni to do a b'tara. Lo zacha. If he's not tahor, if they're not tehorim on Pesach Sheni, yaseh b'tumah, you do it b'tumah. It will be docheh.
B'tumah.
Right. So that's a very good question. Why would you ever have this case by Pesach Sheni that it's docheh t'tumah? Because you can't have the rov at Tzibur being a Tamei. So what you could have is you could have a situation where the Kohanim are Tameim. You have a situation where it's not the Tzibur that's Tamei, but the Kohanim are Tamei. Question we dealt with already, whether it has to be the Beit Av, or it has to be the whole Mishmar is Tamei. But you could have it that the Kohanim are the problematic part here, and then whether it's brought B'Tumah in that case. The Tumah of a Korban can manifest itself in different ways. One is that the Korban itself is Tamei. Over here by Pesach, that would be precluded completely, because we know the Korban of Pesach is one of those Korbanot, you have to focus on eating it. You have to eat it. Pesach B'Tumah is not really an option. So then the other two choices are, the fact that the Balim are Tmeim or the Kwanim are Tmeim. Could be both are, but you can't get to Rova Tzibur to be Tuma Hutra B'Tzibur or Tuma Dukhuya B'Tzibur by the Balim because you don't have the robe. By definition, they're the Miut. Otherwise, it wouldn't be a Pesach Sheni. So the only thing it could be is the Kohanim. You could have the robe of Kohanim or the Tmeim or all the Kohanim are Tmeim. And therefore, you could have a case where you're bringing Pesach Sheni B'Tumah. If it's brought B'Tumah, the Gemara says that then it's eaten B'Tumah. But if it's just the Korban that's Tamei, then we don't allow you to bring it, because then the tzitz is not meratzeh for you to eat it in that case. So here, you have to say that by Pesach Sheni, we're talking about a case where the Kohanim became Tameim. Alright, so that's the end of this piece here. We had a little insertion to find out what the status of Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni are in regards to Korban and Tzibor. We learned that Pesach Rishon, even though it's a Korban, a Yachid, or Shutafim, depending which opinion you think, it gets elevated to Korban and Tzibor because it's brought to Knufaya. It's brought all together at once, all the people together, and therefore it's a din like Korban Tzibor, like the Chagiga. Chagiga is also Korban and Yachid, but because everybody brings it nearly at the same time, it has a status of Korban and Tzibor. The difference between them is, Pesach is Kavul Azman. You have to bring it on the 14th in the afternoon. Therefore, it's Zochei Shabbat, Zochei Tumah. The Chagiga, which is a Korban Yachid, that is a Korban Tzibur, because it's brought all together on the regel, nevertheless, it's still not Zochei Shabbat, because you don't have to bring it on a fixed day. If you don't bring it on the first day, you can bring it on the second day, third day, this Tashlumim. Whether it's the Mishulim and the Rishon, each day is independent, but you can still make it up. Whatever this is, you can make up the Chagiga, and therefore, it's not Zochei Shabbat or Tumah. Chagiga Yudalit that we had the Gemara in Pesachim is how closely related is the Chagiga Yudalit to the Pesach? Is it exactly like the Pesach and has all the dinim in Pesach, or is it like more like a Chagiga? The Gemara in Pesach says that a Pesach Bar Betuma does not come with a Chagiga. The Mishnah says that when you bring the Pesach Betuma, you do not bring Chagiga Yudalit Betuma because it's not obligatory. It's really optional. You don't have to bring a Chagiga. You don't even need it if you don't have enough people to eat. But that means by definition, it's not obligatory. All right. So now the Gemara tries a new avenue. We're going back to discussing the power of the Kohen Gadol. And it says, look, let's try this new avenue, which is that by the power of the Aron, it says twice, it mentions it, because he has two viduim on it. Remember, it has, first vidu is Bado Bad Beito, the second vidu is Bado Bad Beito Bad, the Achava Kohanim. On the same power. That same power, the power of the Kohen Gadol. Aron owns it. And then it says, listen to this, in the first vidu, V'kriv Aron et par chatat, asher lo, V'chiber Bado Bad Beito. So over there, it tells you who's the power belong to. It says, asher lo. Then when you go to the second vidui, it says, V'kriv Aron et par chatat asher lo, V'chiper bado bad beito, Shechat et par chatat asher lo. Three times in those two psukim, it says asher lo, it belongs to Aaron. So the Gemara says, V'tipiklei d'asher lo amar rachmona, Mishelo hu mevi. So the Gemara says, look, it says asher lo, it's his. He owns it. If he owns it, then it's a Kurban Yachid. So the Gemara says, okay. So Mishalo who may be. That means that it's his. He owns it. If he owns it, then it has a status of Kurban Ha Yachid, number one. And number two is it can make Tmura. So if that's the case, we have our answer. What's the status of the Par Kohen Gadol? What's the status of the Par of Aaron? It's a Kurban Ha Yachid. But it's a Kurban Ha Yachid. So first of all, it could be the one that fits into this bright over here, and it makes Tmura. But number two, more importantly, is then we have a problem of Chatat Shemetu Bala. If it's a Kurban Ha Yachid, the whole question before was, what happens if the Kohen Gadol dies? And now we want to bring in a new Kohen Gadol. Isn't it a Chatat Shemetu Balea? Isn't it a Chatat whose Balim died? The answer is now yes, because it's a Korban Yachid. And that means by definition, you'd have to replace the Par. Forget about whether it's the Par or the Dama Par. You have to replace it because it was a Chatat Shemetu Balea. Because now we're saying that it's a Chatat Yachid. Titanio, Asher Lo. The Pasuk says Asher Lo, Meshelo Hu Mevi. He has to bring it out of his own pocket. Below Michel Tzibur, but not from the Tzibur. He pays for it, not the Tzibur. You would think he can't charge the Tzibur for it because they don't get any benefit from the power of Aaron. The power of Aaron is for him, his family, and the Kohanim. The other Kohanim should have to chip in for the Korban. They get kapara for it. A second time it says Asher Lo. So Asher Lo says him, not the Tzibur. Him, not the Kohanim. That means he's gotta buy it. Yachalo Yavi. Okay, fine, he has to pay for it. Vim Hevi Kasher. You would think that's only the Chatchila. He has to pay for it, but B'diavad. If the Kohanim or the Tzibor pays for it, it'll be okay. Tamalom or Shuv Asher Lo. A third time it says Asher Lo. Shana Agaduv Alav. It repeated it. La'akev. To tell you it's a Me'akev. Ownership is Me'akev over here. That means the only person that can own this power is Aaron, or the Kohen Gadol. That's it. So the Gemara says, look, here's a great proof that fire going adults is Korban Yachid because he's the only one can own it. There can be no other joint ownership over here. So the Gemara says, wait a minute. Litamich, according to your reasoning, Echava Kohanim, Ilab Dekonu Bagavei, Hechem Mechaper Luhu. Says, wait a minute, if the Kohanim do not have ownership here, how are they getting Kapara? How do you get Kapara from a Korban that you don't own? It has to be that the other Kohanim are getting ownership or a partnership in this Korban. The Gemara says here, wait a minute, what are you going to do? Pasuk says he's got to buy it, it's his own ownership. So how are the Kohanim getting kapara here? Must be Ella. Now here there's a big issue with the Girsa. Ella, Shani Begaza d'Aron. Different is, Begaza means the offspring of Aron, meaning all Kohanim, that the Afkrei Rachmona Gabe Echava Kohanim, that all the Kohanim Gedolim that come from Aron, they Torah grants them rights in this Korban. You're right. On a practical level, Aaron has to pay for it by himself. And it's his, and he pays for it, and it's a korban. But the Torah then says, the Kohanim get automatic ownership in here. They are granted the right of ownership in this korban. So that's why they get kapara here. So the Gemara says, all right. So if you want to say that, then gabei tmurah nami. For tmurah also, shani be'gazad aron, da'afkei rachmona, gabei achava kohanim. If that's the case, then we're no longer dealing with someone that's a singular ownership. Because the Torah granted the other Kohanim rights here. They granted them ownership rights. Once they grant them ownership rights here, two things happen. Number one is, no more Tmurah. No more Tmurah because it's Kurbana Shutafim. Number two is, no problem Chatat Shemetu Balea because it's again a Kurbana Shutafim. So there the Gemara concludes that it must be, since the other Kohanim attained Kapara here, that it's not a Kurbana Yachid, but rather at least a minimum a Kurbana Shutafim. Send the Korban and Shutafim, because the other Kohanim are granted ownership rights here, cannot make Tmurah, and it's not Chatat Shemetu Baalea, because it's Korban and Shutafim and not a Korban and Yachid. Since there are Shutafim here, not everybody died. Even if the Kohen Gadol passes away, the other Kohanim are still alive. Or, as Tosafot said before, in terms of the institution of Kohen Gadol, like we said before, there's a corporate entity, Kalal Yisrael, so even if people die, it doesn't matter. So too, by Kohen Gadol, it's an institution. So even though one Kohen Gadol passes away, the other Kohen Gadol that takes over might be just taking over the institution, and therefore may not be called Chatat Shemetu Baalea. So in that case, we can answer our question. Now, there is a question about the Girsa here. This little aleph of the Bach says, Heichem Mechaperlu, look in the Bach, it says the Girsa here is, Heichem Mechaperlu Af Bekufya, even Bekufya. Yesterday, the Gemara wanted to know how the Kohanim get their Kapara through the Par. They said, is it because they are partners in Aaron's Par? Or Bekufya. Bekufya means they were floating along. Basically, they got a free ride. So that was what the Gemara asked yesterday. The Gemara had two options. Either it's a Korban Shutafim, because the Kohanim get partnership here, like the Gemara is saying over here. Or do they get a free ride, and they get Kapara, even though they don't own it. So from yesterday's Gemara, it made it sound like, even though the Kohanim are getting Kapara, they could still not be owners of the Korban. They're just getting a free ride. Over here, the Gemara insists that if you get Kapara, then you must be an owner. So is this Gemara arguing with the previous Gemara? That's very possible. That it's arguing with the previous Gemara, and then you have a machloket in the conclusion. In the conclusion, just because the Kohanim are getting kapara, does that mean they must have ownership? This part of the Gemara says yes. The Gemara previously said no, because they could just get a free ride, and they don't have to be owners. So that'd be a possibility that you have a machloket about how we view the kapara of the Kohanim. That's one way. But based on the Girsa of the Bach, Girsa of the Bach is, even though you're getting a free ride, you gotta be an owner. Because he says, even though, Heichem Mechaperlu Af Bekufya, even if they're getting a free ride, how do they get their kapara without being owners? And then they says, okay, they don't have to expend money, but they get granted ownership by the Torah. So then, in that way, the sugya are not arguing. The Gemara is concluding in the end, there's no such thing as a free ride. A free ride is that you just don't have to pay for it, but you're still a partner because the Torah grants you that right, and there's no such thing as a korban yachid here. If you're getting kapara, you're an owner here. So the way the Bach has the gear, so the Gemara here concludes, absolutely. That this is a Korban HaShutafim, because the Kohanim are getting Kapara, they must be owners. They didn't pay, they were granted ownership by the Torah. If you don't have the Girsa of the Bach, then you could argue that this Gemara is arguing on the previous Gemara. This Gemara insists that you're an owner in order to get Kapara. Gemara Basir before said, Bekufya, you can be afloat, you can be a free ride, and you can get Kapara, even though you're not an owner. So that would be a Machloket HaSugyot, or, based on the Bach's Girsa, this is the conclusion of the Gemara, it's definitely a Korban HaShutafim. Once you do that, we see that's the way the Halacha is. That number one, no tmurah from the pyre of our own. And number two is that you do not have a problem of chatat shemetu ba'alea because it's a korban ha'shutafim. Right, so that's the end of this sugya. Now in the Mishnah, we're back to the avodah of the Kohen Gadol. We left him off last after he had picked up the ketoret. So he has the coals in his right hand and has the ketoret in his left hand. And now he's going into the kodesh ha'kodoshim. Over here the Gemara says, how does he go? Hayim ha'alek ve'echal. He goes through the Eichal until he comes between the two parachot. That divide between the Kodesh and Kodeshim. And there's a space in Ramah between these two parachot. Rabbi Yossi Omer, lo yitasham ala parochet echad. There's only one curtain that's there. Shnemar, the pasuk says in Shmot, v'ibdilah haparochet lachem ben HaKodesh ben HaKodesh HaKodeshim. There's a single parochet, single curtain that sits between the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKodoshim. So the Gemara says, Shapir, Kamaluhu, Rabbi Yossi, the Rabbanon. Rabbi Yossi's got a pretty strong case here that there's only one parochet. That's what the Torah says, one parochet. Why do the Chachamim all of a sudden have two parochot here? Rabbanon Amilcha. Hani, milei b'mishkan. That's true in the Mishkan. Avo migdash sheni. Came into Lo'abye, amatraksin, u'migdash rishon, hu dahave. But there was in the Migdash Rishon, istabik lu Rabbanon mikdushate. The Rabbana didn't know what the status of the Kedusha was. And therefore they made two parochot to solve the problem. So let's do, there are a number of stages here. The first stage is that when it says by the Mishkan that you need a parochet, that is a din in Mishkan. The Mikdash by Shlomo Melech says they had a wall between the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKodeshim. And that's Me'id HaNavi, because a kol mikta beit Hashem, so that Hashem gave the Navi the instructions, the blueprint for the Mikdash. And therefore, the Mikdash is different than the Mishkan. Mishkan requires a parochet. The Mikdash gets a wall. How thick was that wall? It was one amah thick. The wall was one amah thick, and it had a doorway in the middle that you went through. And the doorway had a parochet on it, but that was the status or the shape of the code between the Kodesh and the Kodesh Kodeshim in Bayit Ishon. They came to Bayit Sheni, and when they renovated the Mikdash and they made it much bigger, the problem was that the ceiling of the Kodesh HaKodeshim was so high that a wall that had a base of one amah could not be that high. They didn't have a proper foundation then to build up a wall that high. So they no longer could put a wall there because the wall would topple over because it has to be 40 amot high, one amah wide. You can't balance a wall that high with one amah wide. So now, what are you going to do? What are you going to do to separate between the Kodesh HaKodeshim? So you put up a parochet. The only problem is, what's the status of that one amah? That one amah, was it eaten out of the Kodesh to fill the wall in there? Or was it eaten out of the Kodesh HaKodeshim? That's what the Gemara wants to know. The footprint of the wall, is that Kodesh or Kodesh HaKodeshim? We don't know. That one amah, that footprint of the old wall, we're not sure which side it's on. So what they did was, according to Chachamim, they put up a curtain on the end, each end of the amah. One to stop from the Kodesh HaKodeshim before the amah, and one from the Kodesh to the other side, and therefore the amah sat between the two curtains, where we didn't know. But that's why the Chachamim went to two curtains, because of that. Tosafot asks here, it's a strange question, it says that why can't you make a curtain that's a one amah thick? Make a curtain that's one amah thick. That's the problem. That we already know from the Mishnayot that the parochet itself was so heavy that it took, quote unquote, 300 kohanim to put it into the mikveh. I mean, it was already so heavy. You think a curtain that's an amah thick, that thing would be so heavy, it'd probably take the ceiling down with it. It was so heavy. I don't know why Tosafot poses the question. I think it's just impractical, but he does pose the question. Why not do it? So Tosfos, his answer is that the Chachamim believe that the parochet has to sit between the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKodeshim. The one end of the parochet has to be at the Kodesh, and the other end of the parochet, the other side of it has to be Kodesh HaKodeshim. If you make it at one amah thick, that's not what you have. Yeah, you have one end on the Kodesh, one end on the Kodesh HaKodeshim, but it's filling out the whole amah. And since it's filling out the whole amah, you're not getting a parochet that divides really between the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKodeshim. Because either it starts at one end of the curtain or the other end of the curtain. Ah, you have the wall that's like that. He says, that's a gezeirat hakatuv. If you use a wall, you can have a amah thick. If you use a curtain, it's got to be at that dividing point. So the Chachamim put up the two curtains because of that. They wanted one curtain right where the Kodesh ends, and one curtain where the Kodesh HaKodeshim starts. So that way, whichever side it is, on either side of the curtain, you'll have that division. So he says, Rabbi Meir either argues with one of those two things. Rabbi Meir either believes that you don't have to have a curtain like that. You can put up one curtain. It doesn't matter. As long as it divides, it's fine. Or Rabbi Meir believes that he knows where the Amah Traksin. They knew which side belonged to the Kodesh or the Kodesh Kodeshim. Either way, Rabbi Meir argues on them. Tan Rabbanan. Ben HaMizbeach leMenorah haya Malech Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says when the Kohen Gadol is walking in, can't walk down the center because the Mizbeach HaZahav is there. In Bayit Rishon, he would have entered through the center because it was a wall with a doorway in the middle. But here, in Bayit Sheni, they have curtains that are there, and the curtains are open on the sides. So now where is he going to walk? So he says over here that he walks by the menorah. The menorah is in the Darom, is on the southern side. Rabbi Yehuda says he goes between the Mizbeach HaZahav and the menorah on the southern side. That means he goes towards the left. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Meir Omer, ben Shulchan the Mizbeach. He goes between the Mizbeach HaZahav and the Shulchan, which means he's on the northern side or on the right side of the Mizbeach HaZahav. V'yesh Omrim, ben Shulchan the Kotel. That he walks between the Shulchanot and the wall. Means all the way over to the right side. Man Yesh Omrim. Who are the Yesh Omrim over here? Am Rav Chista, Rabbi Yossi. It's got to be Rabbi Yossi from our Mishnah. Damar Pitcha B'Tzafon Koi. Because he says the opening for the curtain is on the northern side. Because Rabbi Yossi believes there's only one curtain there. Since there's only one curtain there, the opening from that curtain was on the northern side. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Lecha Pitcha B'Darom Koi. And Rabbi Yehuda believes that the opening was on the southern side. Because he's like the Chachamim who say there were two curtains. So the inner curtain opened on the northern side, but the outer curtain opened on the southern side. So it opened on the left side because you didn't want to walk straight into the Kodesh HaKodeshim. You had to walk through that Amah. You had to make a right turn and then go into the Kodesh HaKodeshim. So for Rabbi Yehuda, based on the Chachamim, the curtains were open on the left side on the Darom. The Kohen Gadol would enter there, walk the whole Amah between the curtains, and then enter on the northern side where it's open to enter in the Kodesh HaKodeshim. So that's why he says he walked between the Mizbech HaZahav and the Menorah. On the other hand, Rabbi Yossi, who believes that the curtain is open on the northern side, because he has only one curtain, he says he walked between the Shulchanot and the wall. Rabbi Meir, come on, Sfirle. Who does Rabbi Meir hold like? Rabbi Meir says he walked between the Mizbech HaZahav and the Shulchanot. Ika Rabbi Yehuda Sfirle, Neoka Rabbi Yehuda. If he holds like Rabbi Yehuda, let him walk between the menorah and the Mizbech HaZahav. Ika Rabbi Yossi Sfirle, Neoka Rabbi Yossi. If he holds like Rabbi Yossi, let him go between the Shulchanot and the wall into the curtain that's open on the northern side. Where it says, no, the Olam Ka Rabbi Yossi Sfirle. He holds like Rabbi Yossi, Amar Lecha. Shulchanot b'tzafon darom munachim u'mipsakalei shulchan. He holds like Rabbi Yossi, there was only one curtain, and it was open on the northern side, but he had a little bit of a problem. His little bit of a problem is that, we know, and we did this together in the Gemara, with regards to the Shulchanot of Shlomo. Remember that Shulchanot Shlomo, there was the Shulchan of Moshe, and an additional 10 Shulchanot of Shlomo HaMelech. Those were lined up, 5 across. 5 and 5, and then the Shulchan of Moshe. Now, 5 Shulchanot, each one of the Shulchanot is 2 Amot long. Well, if it's 2 Amot long and 5 Shulchanot, that is equal to 10 Amot. The width of the Eichal of the Kodesh is 20 Amot wide. We know that the Shulchanot have to be on the Tzafon. They have to be on the northern side. So if they have to be on the northern side and you're lining up 5 Shulchanot in a row, you line up 5 Shulchanot in a row, 2 Amot each, then they're going to have to be right at the wall. They're going to be touching the wall. And then coming out towards the middle. That's how you keep them in the north. The only way to keep them in the north is to have them adjacent to the wall, flush with the wall, lined up longwise all the way across. Because he says they are lined up north-south. North-south means that they go lengthwise north-south. If that's the case, one after the other on the long way. So you have 5 of them at 2 amot. You get 10 amot across. There's no space between the Shulchanot and the wall. So if that's the case, then it doesn't hit the Mizbech HaZahav. Mizbech HaZahav is in the middle. So then how do you pass between the Shulchanot and Mizbech HaZahav? We know that from earlier, they weren't lined up exactly. The menorah and the shulchan were opposite each other, but the Mizbech HaZahav was pulled forward towards the entrance to the Eichal. And so they weren't exactly lined up. So you would have a space around the Mizbech to go around, meaning that you could go back around the Shulchanot to go there. No, they were lined up west-east, means that they didn't cut off. To walk in straight. This is what we just discussed, that it's not proper to enter into the Kodesh HaKodeshim straight. If, according to Rabbi Yossi, it's open on the northern side, that means if he walks along the wall, that he's looking straight into the Kodesh HaKodeshim the whole way that he walks. We don't want that. That's not proper. So you walk between the Mizbeach and the Shulchanot, and then you only move over to the right side, to the north, all the way to the north at the last minute to enter in the Kodesh HaKodeshim. But to walk the whole Kodesh, looking right into the Kodesh HaKodeshim, that's not proper etiquette. That you shouldn't do. In the Mikdash Rishon, they had a door in the middle, but they had a parochet on that door. So you had to move the parochet to get through. Over here, they used to keep the parochet pinned open. It was so big, and the Kohen Gadol didn't have any hands. So Rabbi Yossi, what about Rabbi Yossi? Rabbi Yossi says you walk along the wall on the north side, and you're looking in the whole way. Why doesn't he think that's a problem of etiquette? B'nai Yisrael have a special status. Now over here, he's really quoting from Shlomo's tefillah when he established the Mikdash. When Shlomo established the Mikdash, he says, each individual will come and pray here and tell you all nigei libo. So anything that's on his heart, anything that's on his mind, each individual will come and daven directly to you, Hashem. They won't need anybody to intercede on their behalf. They won't have to have anybody who davens on their behalf. They can personally come and speak to Hashem. That's the point of the Mikdash. Everybody can come up with their personal tefillah. Because everybody knows what they need, and they can come and speak to him. So what does that show you? The B'nai Yisrael have a unique status. That they can come and personally beseech Hashem for what they need. So over here, that special status of B'nai Yisrael allows the Kohen Gadol to walk straight in towards the Kodesh HaKodeshim, and not have to veer around so he doesn't look in. He can walk. Chaviv in Yisrael. They get that right. The Kohen Gadol walks straight up the northern side of the wall, looking into the Kodesh HaKodeshim the whole way, because of the unique status and the special status of Klal Yisrael, that they're granted that special, I guess, dispensation to walk straight into the Kodesh HaKodeshim. The Kohen Gadol gets it on behalf of Bnei Yisrael on Yom HaKippurim. That's what Rabbi Yossi will say.
The Rach over here offers an alternative shot, which is, what does it mean, Chaviv in Yisrael? Is that during the rest of the year, the Kohen Gadol, when he enters into the Kodesh, has to be wearing the Me'il. And the Me'il has the bells on it. So that it will be heard when he goes into the Kodesh. Whereas on Yom HaKippurim, the Kohen Gadol is allowed to enter in B'Bigdei Lavan. He's not wearing the bells. He doesn't have to make any noise. He doesn't have to announce his presence. And that's the Chavivut of Yisrael. That on Yom HaKippurim, they come in like they're Ben Bayit. They don't have to knock. They don't have to make any noise. He's able to walk in straight into the Kodesh HaKodeshim without any bells and whistles because he's considered to be at home. And that's the zchut of Klal Yisrael that their shaliach, the Kohen Gadol, can enter on Yom HaKippurim Behedjo, looking straight in and not have to hide from the Kodesh HaKodeshim.
So if that's the case, according to Rabbi Yehuda, why does he walk between the Mizbech HaZav and the Menorah? Why does he do like Rabbi Yossi and walk up the southern side, the left side, right up to the open parochet? Now, he doesn't have the same problem as Rabbi Yossi because there are two curtains there. There are two curtains. If he walks up the southern side, even if he can see in, he can't see all the way in because he has the other openings on the northern side. So where it says, Mishachrei Manet. Problem is, because he would get his clothes dirty. The soot from the menorah was on the walls. They had lit the menorah, and the menorah was only 2.5 amot away from the wall. And from all the burning of the menorah over there, the walls got blackened from that. The Kohen Gadol was squeezing between the menorah and the walls. He might bump into or touch the walls, and it would make his big day lavan all dirty. And that would be problematic. So we tell him to walk on the other side of the menorah as to not have that issue. So technically, you could have walked there, or Rabbi Yehuda would have said that. But to prevent that problem of him dirtying his clothing, you tell him to walk between the Mizbech HaZav and the menorah. Okay, we'll stop over here.